version do you want? Do you want the diesel train message, or do you want the bullet train message? Or express, right? Okay. Let's see. I think we can make it. Are you still okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe let's stand to our feet.
Let's close the prayer.
Let's verbalize these things together. I want to talk about God's family, my family. All right, and I think it's very timely, the fact that, you know, Pastor Joseph has just been sharing about the Antioch vision, and I hope that that sort of tingles your ears a little bit and say, oh, I want to hear a bit more about this. I want to know what we're doing and what we're getting ourselves and what we're into. But in a nutshell, what is God's family and my family? And we've got to go back to Genesis to see, overall, this is an overall picture. Okay, we're not going into the details, and I believe that, you know, in days and Sundays to come, we'll be hearing more about the vision and all these things and all that. But an overall picture, what is God trying to achieve with His people? And I want to read a couple of scriptures here to begin with, really quickly. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. And this is what it says. Then God said, it's on the screen, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Okay, here and there, we see the intention of God for us. And God, as we see here, wanted to have a people that was made in His own image and likeness who could relate with Him. Is that true? For example, can I ask you a question? Even in the animal kingdom, right, they mate with, or they get together with the same kind of animal. So a cat will get together with a cat. Dog will get together with a cat. Dog, sorry. Testing whether you were listening.
Peacock,
I suppose. So, for us, it's human beings, right? You've got to make sure, okay, like a male and a female. I can't just say human. Yeah, right? Male and a female, right? Is that true? Yeah. Alright? You've got to be of the same kind, same type, the same substance. And so, God shows right there and then that He wanted people of the same type, of the same flesh, of the same substance, and that's the word I'm looking for. He said, flesh of my flesh, bones of my bones. Only then you're compatible. Is that true? Over here, right here, and then we have this picture of family here. God wanted a group, a people, and wanted us to multiply His image throughout all the earth. He would have a family. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 to 4. And this is towards the end. This is the second last chapter of the scriptures, and this is sort of a concluding this whole thing and taking us into the new heaven, into new earth, into the rest of eternity that awaits us. You know, and he says this in Revelation 21. Now I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And so here it says that the dwelling place of God will be with men. So God's desire, we see how it begins in Genesis, and we see how it concludes itself, the finality, the consummation, or how the fulfillment of God's original intention is to dwell with us, to be part of His family. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, I actually prepared quite a lengthy introduction, as I always do, but I think because I think you want the bullet train message, so I will go through this part really quickly, because I know that you've been trained well in this, well, hopefully you've been trained, or you've been taught well in this house, so this is not strange saying, so you've heard probably most of the things there, but I just initially wanted to establish a few things, but I think you're good. I think you're very intelligent, very spiritual.
Amen.
Okay? Amen.
Amen.
All right, but let me say this in a nutshell. God's original intention is to have a family. He was to dwell together with his people. Alright? And I'm not going to go through the details, I'm just going to verbalize what's on the screen, but the Bible gives us very clear, very vivid pictures, and even God uses the natural relationships like fatherhood, you know, as He is a heavenly Father. You know, saying like, if your earthly father knows how to give you good gifts, how much more the heavenly Father will give you the Holy Spirit if you ask Him. Right? So He gives you the Father, our Father, who art in heaven. Then we see Jesus, He's the elder brother, isn't He? And He's not ashamed to call us brothers. The Holy Spirit is our helper, He's our comforter. Then we have a picture of marriage, of the bride and the bridegroom, Jesus and His church. And so when you look at all of these, it's a picture of what? Family. Relationship. Family. Is that, can we say, yeah, can we agree to that?
Yeah.
Alright. So God's original intention is to have a family. Now, let's go to the next one really quickly. Okay, so before I move on, you know, sometimes we look at our biological family, and let me say that Evangelical Christian Fellowship is a family.
Amen.
Yeah. Alright? And we are part of this big, huge family. We call this the body of Christ, the church of God, right?
Yeah.
Okay? But I am also physically part, and not just physically, obviously spiritually as well, but locally, I'm in this place, in this region, I am part of this local church. Okay, this is my family. So, what do we say? Biological family over God's family, God's family over biological family, one or the other, or both, or how do we prioritize it? Now, really quickly before I continue this, and I wanted to say this at the start, is do I have to wait until my walk has been perfected in God before I can join a church?
No, but
God is working through my life, isn't He? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, do I have to wait until like I've mastered this and only then I should think about church? No, I think it works both together, doesn't it? Right? You're working out we're walking out our individual life at the same time we're part of the bigger picture. So it's not to say one or the other. We just need both. Both is healthy. A good balance is healthy. Is that right? Now let me just go to the next one. Yes, the importance of family. The importance of family. Now, like I said, there's this thing called the body of Christ, and it's a big picture. And here we're in the local church. I want to make a main emphasis this morning on local church, which is what we're part here this morning. It's called Evangel. You should know the name, Christian Fellowship. Good job. All right. Now I wanted to use this illustration here. You all know what a global company is, right? So a company that's in multiple countries, okay? So let's take McDonald's, for example, because I just happened to, you know, work there in the past. Not that I'm promoting the fast food, their fast food, but
Amen.
You understand that you have this international brand which is found across the earth. Can you find McDonald's everywhere? Okay, alright.
Yes.
If I said to you, you know, I work for McDonald's, alright? I'm part of this global, international company that serves delicious fast food. And I just say it like this, right? And I say, I work for them, right? Now, what would be the proof that I work for them?
Fast.
Well, what would be the evidence that I work for them? That means I would probably be in Perth, in a particular server, working for a particular store. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Right? Yes. I can't just say I work for McDonald's, I'm part of this international, global company that is affecting the lives of millions and millions of people by providing them. I can't say that unless I am in an actual store working there. In like manner, I'd like to say this, is like, that we say we're part of the body of Christ. But the evidence that we are part of this huge and wild global body that's worldwide,
right.
I've got to be part in a local church.
Come on.
Yeah.
Right? That's true.
That's
right.
Right.
Otherwise, it's just like this cloud of words. I'm part of this, but what do you mean?
That's right.
So it is important to be part of a local church.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
So this family here is part of this huge family, but I've got to be part of this family here. So
yeah.
I'm very glad to be part of this church. I believe that family is very important. I remember when I, let me quickly share this testimony, or my story anyway, but you know, when I joined this church, okay, see, my story is a little bit interesting, so just to make sure you don't get confused, but at the time when I was working in McDonald's, and I was with Adrian, and I remember this because Adrian used to always work Friday nights, and he used to finish at 11 p.m. I used to, you know, finish at midnight. So anyway, remember that particular day, and I had been baptized. So just so you know, I was actually baptized 6 months before I actually, you know, attended the services here. So, you know, and during this time, you know, I was going to the micro, by the way. I've been doing it for a year and a half then. And I used to meet Adrian. And that one particular Friday, I said to Adrian, I've been attending for a long time now. And I said, Adrian, you know what? I've got something to tell you. I'm going to be joining your church. And he was like, really? And he's like, you have no idea. You know, I wanted to tell you whether you'd like to join our church, but I didn't dare kind of impose it. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, and you said that you spoke to your parents, it could have been your mom or dad, that said, you know, let God work, something like that. And I remember you said something like this, and you said, me coming to you and saying that was like a prayer being answered. Now, I know that when I joined Evangel, and... I made this, obviously, this choice to be here, right? Now, I'm very glad to make this choice because, you know, when I joined initially, and then, you know, I was here every Sunday, I used to, like, you know, listen to the Sunday messages and all that, and I thought they were fabulous, you know, I mean, like, I'm like, man, this is good, all right? And sometimes people might say to me, friends or a relative here and there, oh, why don't you join our Sunday service? Now, remember, I'm a very... young Christian, I'm a very newborn babe, and you know, I don't know much about church stuff, right? Okay? They used to tell me, hey, why don't you join our service on Sunday, you know? And this is how I used to think to myself, alright? Okay? And I thought, man, if I join the other service, then I miss the Sunday message here. Then, like, I'm actually missing something here. You know, and this is how I felt. I really felt that this was a place where I felt like I couldn't miss, I could not miss a Sunday message because I felt like I'll miss so much if I did. I'd be so far behind. Obviously, I didn't think it was quite that way, but so to speak. And so I always used to say, no, I don't want to be here on a Sunday. Alright? And I think it is very important because I just realized this, family is very important. Even in our biological family, isn't it important for children to have a father and a mother and to grow in a very healthy family? Now, with everything that's happening in Australia, you know that there are many negative things that are happening. You know, they want surrogacy and they want to have, homosexual parents, you know, no father, no mother figure, and all kinds of things that are happening, and we know that this destroys a child.
Yep.
Now, when we look at ourselves spiritually, you know, isn't it healthy to be part of a family?
Yeah.
Right? And so if we think it affects a child biologically or in a biological setting, how much more do you think it affects us when we have not found a church, a house, and a family to grow in? Now, some of you might be thinking, all right, and I'm not targeting anyone in particular, but I know this because when I was preparing this, I thought this was a thought that came. They're like, well, that can't really be me since I've been here for a long time. Okay, and so whatever it is, whatever you're thinking, just listen first to what I have to say and let the Holy Spirit work in our hearts. Is that okay?
Yes. Yeah.
Alright. Okay, but it is so important for spiritual growth to be part of this church. Now, how many of you know that we can be here, yet we're not here?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. That's right.
And we can be physically here and we're not hearing, or we're not here.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yes.
We could be, there's so many things we could do. We could be attending church, yet not really be connected.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you are a different group of people, right?
Amen.
Amen. All right. That's good. Now, these are the main two things I wanted to share with you, and I believe that it is very important to be grounded and rooted. And God has been saying to us, we've been hearing this over the weeks now, months possibly, that we've got to have this strong foundation, we're building, and last week we talked about what you build, how you build, where you build, when you build. Okay, what are we building? They were building God's house. Jesus said, I'm building my church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus himself is building his church. Alright, we are part of this family that God is so longing to be part of. Now I've got 2 points. Can you bear with 2 points?
Yeah.
Yes.
Good. Okay. The first one is God sets me into his family. Now when you're born into when you were born, you didn't quite choose your parents, did you? And when you were born in your family, you know, how many times have you, you know, sometimes kids compare with others. Oh, I wish my dad was like this. I wish my mom. But, you know, every time I, you know, when you hear this from a child, doesn't that kind of hurt? It's like, oh, man, they should be like mom and dad is the best, you know, sometimes. You know, it's so, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, you know. But the thing is, we can't change our parents. We can't change that. It's just a fact. You're born into this family, like it or not, they're your parents. We're born in this family. God says, there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's not read it, but there are three main things that I want to highlight to you today. And it's talking about the church, it's talking about the members of the body of Christ, and it says three things. The church, God set the members, God composes the body, and God appoints. Okay? God is the one himself sets us. He sets the members, he composes the body, and he appoints. Who does he appoint over our lives? Who are our parents? If you're in this house, there's a mother, there's a dad. You've got to know who they are. Who is my spiritual mother? Who is my spiritual father? Is it healthy to be connected and to be part of the family? God set me in this family. Now I want to ask you this question. Do you think that God has set you in this local church or family?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. God is the one who set me. Read a couple of scriptures here. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 42. Those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day was about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in apostolic, in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. Okay? Verse 46 now. So continuing daily with one another in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Now listen to this. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now can I ask you a question? Who is adding to the church? The Lord. The Lord God is adding us to the church. So we've got to establish in our hearts. If I am here this morning, do I truly, truly, very, verily, verily believe that God has set me here in his house?
Yes.
God composed me, am I part of his house?
Yes.
I say yes.
Yes.
I know for sure that God has established me, has set me to be part of his house. And let me say this to you. Some of you might be thinking, well, obviously he's a pastor. Of course he would say that. I mean, you know, pastor, I mean, of course, if you say anything else, I think we'll fuck him, not let you fire. But, you know, what kind of pastor is he, right? Right? And you might be thinking, oh, just because he's a pastor, that's a normal feeling, because the fact is, that's what it is. But let me tell you that what I'm sharing with you is not true only when I became a pastor. This, I can tell you and assure you, the same feelings that I hold of being part of this house was never different. Becoming a pastor didn't make me, oh, certainly, oh, by the way, you should love this house. This house, I know that I belong. Whether I became a pastor or not, that was never really in the picture in my mind back then, anyway. But I knew that God puts me here. I wanted to be part of here. I knew I was growing. I knew I was being grounded. I knew the word was being taught and we were being equipped. We were being trained and receiving more. And so I was out there. You know, I'm glad to be part of this house. And I hope you are.
Amen.
Amen. So God sets us here. Very important. Very important to be part of a family. But to really be part of the family, it really needs to be involved. Right? If you're part of the family, it's not high-bye, right? Is it? Hopefully not, right? It's not just high five. If we are a family, then it's more than just the surface. Let's do business here. And in fact, look at the scriptures. It says they met daily. Wow, is it met daily? You know, and sometimes we can meet once or twice a week, but wow, so much. Right? But they met daily. I mean, can you imagine? I don't think we're meeting daily, but I mean, you know, were they extreme? Were they asking for too much? I mean, were they, you know, crazy, nothing else to do? No. They met daily. They continued in those things and they grew, right? And God added to them. Now, I want to share. So, okay, let's establish. Do you think that God has set you in His house?
Yes.
Right,
that's
the first question, because I believe God composes, He sets, and He appoints. Alright, and again, there's so much more, but I'm giving you the bullet version, alright? Okay, the next one here, the next slide, second point, last point, wow, we're almost there. And I think this is a very, very important one. I put here, you know, I think I was changing my mind this morning and I was thinking, man, I was saying God's family must grow together locally and globally. I would also say, you know, God is building His church because when He's building, we're growing. But this is what I want to say. Being part of a family is healthy, and it establishes, it gives us a sense of identity, belonging, we grow, we develop skills, we learn how to relate. And so it's so vital and important to have that environment. So what I want to share, I recently heard this, not kind of recently, maybe the last year or so, this three types of people analogy. I want to put it on the screen there. I came across this and I thought, wow, that's so true. And I was just reminded of this recently. There are three types of people in our lives. Right, everybody say leaf people.
Leaf people.
Branch people.
Branch people.
Or root people. Okay. Now, I'm going to just read. You can follow along. Okay, you can read. Laura's going to be on the screen. But basically, what I'm about to read speaks a message in itself. Probably is a message in itself. Leaf people. Right, you know, do you people know what leaves are?
Yeah.
Branches? Roots? That stuff that you can't really see, but it's really supporting the whole, you know, plant? Okay. Now, leaf people. They are only there for a season. You can't depend on them or count on them because they are weak. And only there to give you shade. Like leaves, they are there to take what they need, and as soon as it gets cold or a wind blows in your life, they are gone. Okay? That's leaf people, right? This is just an analogy, okay? An analogy. We're using an analogy. You know what an analogy is?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're just putting a contrast, okay? To communicate a message here. Branch people, there are some people who come into your life and they're like branches on a tree. They're stronger than leaves, but you have to be careful with them. They will stick around through most seasons, but if you go through a storm or two in your life, it's possible that you could lose them. You have to test them out before you run out there and put all your weight on them. Alright. The last one, root people. If you can find some people in your life who are like the roots of a tree, then you have found something special. Like the roots of a tree, they are hard to find because they are not trying to be seen. Their job is to hold you up and help you live a strong and healthy life. If you thrive, they are happy for you. They stay low-key and they don't let the whole world know that they are there. If you go through an awful storm, they will hold you up. Their job is to hold you up, come what may, and to nourish you, to feed you, and to water you. Just as a tree has many limbs and many leaves, there are few roots. Wow. Okay? I want to ask you this question. Okay, this message is almost like an ask question. I almost wanted to make the points like a question based, you know, but I thought, no, maybe not. But the question is, alright, what kind of people are we? Are we leaf people? Are we branch people? Are we root people? When we are part of God's family, we grow together. We're in this together. It's not superficial, but it's real. Real family. You know, and just like... And let me say this, you know. God's family. Alright? God's family. Now, we established at the beginning, God wants a family. right? We're quite okay with that. And everything that we do in this earth is to pattern according to the, is to follow after the pattern of God. Let me give you a few examples, like talk about marriage. A marriage must point to the marriage of Christ and the church. Like what is spoken in scripture about the church and Christ is the kind of a relationship that a wife and a husband ought to have. The fatherly love, you know, we talk about fatherhood, for example, the pattern that is given is Heavenly Father. He's our Father, but he's also Father who disciplines his children. Right? So the earthly fathers have a pattern to follow. In like manner, you know, every family on this earth, we talk about individual family, it is to pattern after this family of God. The pattern is there. It's to point to that. Amen? So it's not a competition as to whether, you know, do I neglect one or do I emphasize on one? Both is needed because the earthly one must point to the heavenly one. Is that amen? So God's family, I must grow. I must be part of it. It is so essential to be part of it. And when I say this, you know, I don't just say church attendance. I mean real connection. I mean, are we really, really in this together? Are we the brunch people? Let me read a couple of the scriptures here. And this is how I'll finish. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 16. And this is what it says. He himself gave some to be apostles. Maybe you've heard last particular verse when he gave some to be what? Apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, they grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined, knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective work by which every part does its shares. What happens then? Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And I can't emphasize this, that if we really want to grow in our Christian life, we've got to be part of this look. We've got to be part of our house. We've got to be part of this family where we can grow, expand, learn, be corrected, yeah, when needed, and but change, basically. Change. Just like any family. Just like any family would raise up their children. In like manner, it's the same, isn't it? Right? We're edifying, we're building ourselves. God wants us to grow. He appoints us, he chooses us so that we would bear fruit. Doesn't he say that? Alright? God is the one who gives us people. He's the one who composes the body. And so, I want to leave you with one last scripture. Ezekiel chapter 37 is not on there. But he's, Isaiah 37, I think it is. Isaiah 37. Okay, verse 31 and 32. Isaiah 37, verse 31 to 32. And it says this. And what the remnant, remember it said the remnant, who have escaped from the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant, and those who escape from Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Alright? I think it's a very important verse. We take roots downwards and bear fruit upwards. And so if I want to be grounded, if I want to be strengthened, if I want to build a sure foundation, be grounded in my Christian life, I've got to be grounded in the house. I've got to be grounded on soil, like a plant in soil, so that it's deep and good soil. I believe it's a good church. I don't know about you, I think it is. I hope you think too. I believe this church gives us the word, teaches us how to pray, how to connect with God, how to look to God, how to depend on God, how to wait on the Lord, how to look at His face. I mean, just listen to what we've been hearing all morning. Okay, to help us to connect with God, giving us what we need so that in times of adversity we can stand strong. Amen? And even in the dark times that we're living in right now, we need to be able to stand strong, but we need to have our roots deep and grounded in the Word and in the foundation, the vision of this church, which is the vision of Christ Himself, not of man. And so, these are the two things, these are the two points. I try to do this as quick as I could. But number one is, God is the one who sets me in a heart. And we know this. Are we aware? Are we 100% sure? You're not sure. Maybe. Perhaps. Alright? I'm sure. So are you, I hope.
Yep.
Amen? Alright? And we are to grow. But growth really comes. Alright? I believe in the individual walk. We've got to walk with God individually. That is something no one can do for us. But we have to see at the overall picture what God is coming back for. He's not just coming back for one person or one family or a certain individual. He's coming back for His church, who He is building.
Amen.
And how are we part of this huge body of Christ? Here, we see ourselves in this part of this local body, which is part of this worldwide body of Christ that Jesus Himself is building. So, I want you to really ask ourselves and to be sure in our hearts, are we really grounded and rooted in His house? Alright? Now, like I said, it doesn't come with... Like, you know, let me say this. Does the maturity of a Christian come with age? Or comes with his walk in the Lord? Or his or her, right? It's just his, I don't know. But his or her walk in the Lord. Alright? It is possible that a younger person could have a more mature relationship with the Lord than someone who's been a Christian for a long time. I'm just saying it's possible, isn't it? I'm not saying it's a pattern and it should be that way, but it is possible. Alright? We are not talking about church attendance. We're not talking about being here or attending so many meetings or as many meetings as you can. But the question is, how grounded and how connected are we truly is? And I'm saying to you, if you believe that this is your house, you believe that this is my house, you know, our involvement, how we treat it, how we talk about it, how we promote it, how we talk about it to people, come out very differently, isn't it? Do you think so?
Yeah.
Well, I am proud to be part of this church.
Yeah.
And I'm not ashamed to say it, because I believe that this church has a clear vision, and you're about to hear more. And I hope you're hungry to hear more about this.
Yeah.
But I believe that this church has a vision, and is building what Jesus wants to build, and we are wanting, I mean, God is wanting the best for us, and we just want to fulfill Genesis and Revelation. We want to be there on that day when we see Him.
Amen.
Be faithful and good and faithful servant. And together as a family, we're going to go forward.
Amen.
So you're part of this family.
Yes.
You are. Amen.
Amen.
Right, let's pray together. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You are the one who sets a point and You compose the church and appoint Your people over this church. I thank You that we've been born again. We've been added into Your family so that we can find growth, so that we can grow spiritually, so that we can grow and expand, so that we will be ready for everything and anything that comes, especially in the last days that we're living in. Thank You, Lord, that we are finding our roots downwards and bearing fruit upwards as we press on, as we keep fixing our eyes, as we stay connected to God, as we stay connected to what You're doing in Your church, what You're doing in this locality. I thank You. I praise You. We give You glory for what You're doing in our hearts and establishing in our lives this morning in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.